morning, if you would, and turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. 1 Kings, chapter 17. When we were in Texas and out on vacation and everything, we were stopped in at Westside Baptist Church over in Katy, Texas, where we were at, We were visiting Sister Denise's family, and we went to church over there with her brother and Valerie. Of course, most of y'all know Valerie and Brian, at least know about them. But anyway, they had a fellow there that taught, and he taught the men's Sunday school, and so we sat there, and he looked at it. He did a fine job of teaching and everything, but as I was looking at that, there's just something that just leapt out at me, and I wanted to just bring it to you. And Charles Williams, who was the pastor of Hattiesburg, of Central Baptist Church in Hattiesburg for many, many years, preached a very similar message long, long time ago at a Bible conference that we went to up there. But I just, this message, Lord just kept working on my heart about it. So let's read the chapter, if you would, and we will get into this, and we'll see some things here this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Now, Father, help us as we see and understand the Word of God. Help us to that, to understand the Word of God. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless the preaching of your Word today. Lord, help us to see things that we individually need to see. Father, I know the message you have laid upon my heart, but there may be another message in your word that somebody needs to see. So Lord, help them not only benefit by the preaching, but by the reading of the word of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this passage of scripture, very well-known passage of scripture, the Bible talks about Elijah as being a man of like faith as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain. And he prayed also that it would rain, and it didn't rain by the space of 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and God sent the rain. And of course, we know Elijah, after all this, after he dealt with the prophets of Baal, his life was threatened by Jezebel, and he got afraid, and he ran away, and was found down in the underneath the juniper tree, in self-pity, asking God to go ahead and kill him because he tried to serve the Lord, and God had to remind him that there were 7,000 that even though he couldn't see him, he thought he was all alone. There were 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his image, so we see Elijah at his height, and we see Elijah at his depth. But you know, when we see Elijah at his height, there is a common theme in this chapter as we look at when Elijah comes on the scene. And he comes on, he says, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. We find out that it's 3.5 years later in the scriptures. And he says, and then he says, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You know, it's an amazing thing when you look at ravens. It's just a miracle of this. It's just an amazing thing. First of all, the raven is an unclean bird. They can't, the Jewish people can't eat that. And most of us wouldn't eat it anyway if we could. But they're a scavenger, they're a carrion feeder, and they're a very selfish bird. They'll fight amongst and squabble amongst each other for a little crumb or anything, and you know, they'll do that, and they'll fight one another. And if they come in and get something, they take it for themselves. They don't take it for anything else. So you just look at the nature. This is what happens about this here with the ravens bringing him flesh, and the morning and the evening, the miracle that God provided is totally against their nature. This person, this bird, is unclean. It's an unclean bird, and so it's brought to him. And I would say this: notice that he brought him two meals a day. You know, U.S. government talks about 3 square meals a day. God said he only need 2. And granted, there was a famine and all that. Food was probably in short supply and all that. But God gave him what he needed, didn't he? And so God sustained him. The simple fact is that God did a miracle there, and it's just an amazing thing. And then it says, came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. Of course, we know the rest of the story. He called out to her and said, bring me some water. And she went to go do it. And he said, while you're at it, cook me something. Cook me a little cake and bring it to me. And she said, well, you said... I'm gathering these sticks, gathering a couple sticks, and I'm going to go cook it and dress it and give it to me and my son. We die, so we're going to die. And Elijah prophesies and tells her to go ahead and be obedient and to simply trust him and the Lord, and that God would provide, that the meal would not waste and the oil would not fail until the day that the Lord sent rain on the land. And that's a huge miracle too, isn't it? That is a huge miracle too. Alright? Because she and her house and Elijah ate of that for 3.5 years. That's a significant miracle. He said it wouldn't fail until there was rain come. And that didn't happen until over in 18 when he confronted Ahab and the prophets of Baal. And after he slew the prophets of Baal, he went up and prayed. He prayed and the rain came. And so it was an amazing thing when you look at that. But I want you to notice something about this. And this is something I want you to understand about this. God gave him a command and he said... He said, in verse 4, he said, after he told him to go hide himself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, he said, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There. And then he tells the widow woman, he tells him about the widow woman, he says, the word of the Lord came unto him, verse 8 said, the word of the Lord came unto him and said, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, which is in a Gentile area, Tyre and Sidon. You remember that area? How many things they were talked about in judgment in the Bible? And he said, go to get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman, widow woman, there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. So you see that term there again and again and again. And Elijah said, God told Elijah, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he said, now go to Zarephath because I commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. All right. Now, I want to say to you that word there is extremely important. That word there is extremely important because God said, this is where you go and I will provide for you there. To be there, the place where God appoints. And he went to Zarephath and he said, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. But when he gets to Zarephath, he doesn't find a widow woman, he finds the widow woman. So we look at this, and this is the bottom line. This is something that we have to understand. Elijah was not at liberty to just go wherever he wanted. There were ravens all over the land. And there were widow women all over the land. But there was a certain place that God was going to do something, and God wanted him there. He wanted him in a certain place. And the ravens that were going to feed him were going to be coming to the brook Cherith. The woman that was going to feed him that God was going to use, that God commanded, if you will, was at Zarephath. Jesus actually mentioned this. If you go in the New Testament, he said that there were many widows in the land of Israel in the time of Elijah, but he wasn't sent but to one in Zarephath by Zidon. So if you go back and you read your New Testament, you'll find that in there, and you'll find the understanding of that. But there's the point. For Elijah to do what he's supposed to do, and for God to provide what he needs, Elijah needs to be there. And it is the same thing with us in reality when we think about this. Obviously, the first place you need to be there is obviously to get saved. Alright? You know, in 1 Peter chapter 4, it tells us, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" When we talk about Elijah being there, we're talking about Elijah being in the place of faith and obedience. Because genuine faith brings forth obedience, doesn't it? Yeah. Obedience is the result of genuine faith. But with God, there's always a there. The person that to get saved, you have to be redeemed. And then when you're redeemed, you're what? You're in Christ, aren't you? You're there. And so if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you're not there. You're not where you're supposed to be. But the only way to get there is to believe God and go there. To call upon the Lord, right? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have to be there. And Elijah goes, and it's an amazing thing with Elijah, and I'm gonna tie all this together for you here shortly. But I want you to see something about this. You notice, once again, Elijah goes to the brook Cherith, and all of a sudden, he's being fed by that which is ceremonially unclean to him. God is using that which he is to avoid to actually help him and provide for him. God is using something that he himself wouldn't want to bother with, and he would avoid. And generally, he would be out there. He would be out there running them off when they came, because if they came to his camp, they wouldn't be coming to bring bread and flesh. They'd be coming to carry it away. But because he was there, they brought it to him. Anywhere else in Israel, they'd have been trying to take it away. And you know, God can do that sometimes. I've shared stories about how people that absolutely hated our guts helped us when we were struggling and everything. God used people, and it's just an amazing thing how that happens. And it's just, you know, God can do the miraculous. Amen. You know, Elijah wasn't running around looking to get something from ravens. He was just, all he had to do was go to be there. To be at the place where God appointed, to obey God and go to that place where God said to be. And that was an amazing thing, how that impact goes. And then he goes to Zarephath. And once again, he doesn't just find a widow woman, he finds the widow woman. God said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee, feed thee. And when he gets there, he sees the woman, the widow woman, was there. He wouldn't have met that woman unless he'd been there. And I'll say another thing about this, about being there. If you look about this and you take a look at this, this idea of being there where God says to be, he told her, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after go, make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of God, of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, Elijah went there and told her, and this is the other thing about being there. Not only will you meet the right people by being there, a lot of times we get ourselves into trouble because we're in the wrong place, hanging out with the wrong folks. And we hang out with the wrong folks because we're not where God wants us to be. We're not there. But being there not only got Elijah to the right woman, but it also benefited the woman, didn't it? Elijah became a blessing to her and her family. Because as God was providing for Elijah and using her and what she had on hand, she reaped the benefits and the blessing of that too. And when you and I get where we are supposed to be, it impacts the lives of other people. As God blesses us for being there, he also blesses other people because we are there. The woman was meant by God to be a blessing to Elijah, and Elijah became a blessing to her. And not only that, we see as it goes on, verse 17 says, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Is this why you came? To judge me of my sin? By the way, isn't that the way people look at us? When you're trying to talk about people, share the gospel with them, it always seems to be a resistance. They're always like, well, you know, you saying you're better than me? Are you judging me? It's kind of interesting how human nature is. But, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him up out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, let this, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came in to him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And you know, so Elijah being there, when the crisis came, he was able to help by being there. But not just help, he didn't just help the woman in the crisis, but when they came out of the crisis, what did the woman say? And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." You know, we think of a man of God in the sense of preachers and prophets and evangelists and missionaries and all these type of things like that. And there's some merit to that thought. But all of us are supposed to be men and women of God. We're made unto our God kings and priests that shall reign in the earth. A priest is an intercessor. And so the idea is to be there. Elijah had to be there. Now let me put this into practical terms for us. Most of us are not going to hear the audible voice of God tell us, "I want you to go there." I mean, is it possible that it could happen? Sure, it's possible. Is it likely? No. We have the Bible. We have God's Word. He didn't need to tell you and me anything. He doesn't need to say, "Hey, you do this." And all of these things have a purpose. And they're written for our learning. And for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So here we are, and it's written for our admonition and for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Alright? So, these things were written, although they were written to Israel, they were written for us. And so, when we look at this, we see a focus in that use of that word there. Elijah, you need to be there. I've commanded ravens to feed thee there. I've commanded a widow woman to feed thee there. He found the woman there, gathering sticks there. We see that over and over again. And so what would be the practical application for us? Obviously, we need to be wherever there is, right? Wherever God says there is, that's where we need to be. But sometimes, let's not forget that being there isn't always a physical thing. It's not always being in a location. It's not always being in a location. There is a place. I talk to Sister Denise sometimes, and we'll be talking. We got things to do, and I'll say, "Hey, do you do this yet?" She says, "No, I'm not there yet." She's not talking about a location. She's talking about internally. I'm not ready to go there. I'm not ready to do that yet. I'm not ready to accomplish that yet. And a lot of times what hurts us, like the apostle Paul said, he told the Corinthians, because of the things and the things that were holding them back as growing up as Christians, he said, "Ye are not straightening us, you're not straightened, you're not restricted by the ones that are giving you the word of God. Ye are straightened in your own bowels." In your own emotions, in your own life. And that's how it is with us sometimes. We just don't get there where we're supposed to be. You know, there are things that happen that are common. Temptations that are common to man. There's no temptation taking us, but such is as common with man. And God hath provided, what? A way of escape. That we might be able to bear it. Also in, I believe in 2 Corinthians, it talks about that. In other words, with every temptation, with every trial, with every crisis, and everything as a Christian, there is a place to be emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. There's a place to be. We're supposed to be there. And there is determined in God's Word. That God tells us the type of attitudes we're going to supposed to have. He tells us how we're supposed to respond to things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with supplication and prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What God is saying is, there is a place for you to be to deal with your anxieties and your fears. There's a place. And we need to be there. There is a place that we need to be in our hearts. That's why we're given the Word of God. That's why we're given a location. You know, we even use it in our own work with God. Everybody here knows about the Romans road to salvation, right? And what that is, it's a bunch of verses that have been mapped out that are verses dealing with salvation to try to get somebody to the point of trusting Christ as their Savior. In other words, when we go out and use the Romans road and the Bible itself, there's always a there in mind. The there is for them to humble themselves, repent, and believe the gospel, right? Yep. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the there that the Romans road is designed to get them to. We want people to get saved. Before they can get saved, they have to get to a place in their hearts where they understand they're a sinner. They understand they deserve God's judgment. They understand that Jesus is their only hope. And they understand that He offers salvation as a gift, free gift, if they'll just humble themselves and receive it, right? They have to get there. And so it is with the Christian life and with dealing with the problems in our... There's a there to get to. There's a place to be. I want you to think about that. There's a place to be when dealing with our enemies. There's a place to be when dealing with the law. And how they behave towards us and how they treat us. There's a place to be so that we can forgive. Many times the problem is we just don't go to that place where God tells us to be. You know, we're big on people showing up at church. We want people to show up at church. It's a there. Why? It's a there because there's a purpose for this place. That's why we have a church. It's a physical there, but there's a purpose for being here. And the purpose for being here is to help you find all the other there's that God has for you. Whether it be God leading you to witness to somebody, or whether it be just you dealing with a problem or a crisis in your life, from the point where God wants you to deal with it, then. The level of understanding, the faith, that place of faith when crisis comes or sickness or I mean, go down the list of all the problems that we can encounter. There is a biblical way to deal with it. Brother Larry is dealing with and focused on dealing with people that are suffering from PTSD and has been for many years. And what he's trying to do is, obviously he wants these people to get saved, but he also wants them to be able to deal with those problems from a biblical perspective. That's the there. That's the there. He's trying to get them to a there. And if he's doing it right, he's already there. And Elijah was there, and it made a difference in his own life, but not just his life, it made a lot difference in the life of other people. When people see the power of God and the blessing of God, and they see the grace of God, there are some that are going to look and say, I want to be there. You ever went out, and I don't know about you, some of y'all, when I got my 10 acres, I was just tickled to death and happy because I've always to own some land, some property has always kind of always been my goal, and praise the Lord, and I'm thankful to the Lord that he allowed me to do it. But I still see things. Sister Denise and I, we'll be driving along. We were driving on the road, and boy, I said, I was telling her about this place up there near where I used to live. I said, boy, I used to always come by there and say, I want to be there when I was a kid. I want to be there. I want to own that land. I want to be there. I like the land. It looked pretty. And we've all done that. We all have dreams like that. But we all want to be there. We still have places where we say, boy, I'd like to be there. And we ought to be that way spiritually. We ought to look at people like Elijah and look at people like Peter and Paul and David and look at the things and say, you know what? I'd like to be there. I'd like to be right where they are. And you know how they got there? By just listening to God and being there where God told them to be. Whether it was in their heart, whether it was the way they thought about things, it was the way they saw the world. You know, we talked this morning about Jesus and his Father being manifest unto us, but not the world. Well, how is that accomplished? Well, we're to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, right? We have to be somewhere, don't we? There's a there to be at. Are you there? Are you there? You're struggling, you're fighting, and you're worried, and you're upset, or you're... Why? Could be because you're not there where you're supposed to be. This problem that you're dealing with, you're not dealing with it from the place that God would have you deal with it, that place of faith and obedience. Sometimes it's just a matter of reaching out and just, you know, the world and the devil and your flesh and everything else are screaming at you. There's no way it could work if you did it God's way, and you just need to get that place of faith. Just need to get there and say, you know what? I'm just going to listen to the word of the Lord. I mean, I could use this talking about money, I could property, family, relations, work, and everything like that. But God always has a place for us to be. There's a place where our heart is supposed to be. In fact, our hearts are not going to... We're told that we're to lay up treasure in heaven so that our heart would be up there. Right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Heaven is a there. Just want to ask you, I don't know your heart, I don't know anything, I don't know if it was halftime, I don't know what's going on with you, because I only know what you tell me. I don't run around from house to house trying to get people to tell on you or tell me anything they know or anything like that. I don't do that. I'd never do anything like that. But God knows, and God has a solution. And the solution is found there. It's found in that place of faith, in the type of faith that brings obedience. Are you there? Are you there? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your kindness, and we thank you for all that you've provided us. Help us, Lord, to understand where it is we need to be in our hearts, in our focus. Lord, some of us just need to be at the place of prayer when you call us to be there. Some of us, Lord, need to just be with that place of casting all our care upon you and knowing that you care for us. Lord, some of us just need to believe your word about a certain thing. Lord, help us to that end. Help us to just be there, right where you want us to be. Not just in the place where our feet are standing, but, Lord, in our hearts. Dealing with all the things that we have to deal with in this world, that we'd all deal with them from the basis of your word and your will and your way. Help us to that end. Now, Lord, we again pray for those that are grieving. And Lord, we pray for those that are traveling. Lord, we just thank you. We pray you bless each one as we close this service out. You know the need of every heart. Just help us, Lord, to be there, right where we're supposed to be. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.